We're back here on News Radio KMAN's In Focus. Brandon Peoples joined by Alana Parker here. She's the curator of design with the Riley County Historical Museum, talking about the Wolf Museum, the Wolf House Museum. And part of this, you're going to be doing tours a week from today for fourth graders. I guess you guys do this annually?
Yes, we are very excited. Every year we host every fourth grade class in the county at the Wolf House Museum. It's probably my favorite time of year to be at the Wolf House, to see all the students come through so they get a glimpse of what life was like in the 1880s. So we'll have, just over 450 students. And so we have some incredible volunteers. We could not do this without our wonderful volunteers that help us with this program. And I believe it's been over 25 years now that we've been conducting this tour program at the Wolf House. And so part of these tours, the students, when they come in, will have six different stations set up. So I mentioned the parlor earlier. So they get to learn about transportation. They get to learn about the formalities of the parlor. And you compare that or contrast that with our living rooms today as a place of lounging, what we do today. But the parlor was very formal, a place to sit. They go into the dining room where they have... They'll get to see. We actually use real food. We really try to appeal to the five senses so they get to touch things. They won't taste things. We do have things like sardines out on the table. We'll make bread, so they're getting the smell of the bread. Mrs. Perry, who ran that boarding house, was known for her bread-making skills that she would sell in the community. Upstairs, one of the most coveted stations is to be able to talk about hygiene during the 1880s, which, of course, would include talking about the outhouse and the chamber pot. The kids always seem just so surprised that is how you would handle your bathroom situation in the 1880s. And it would be the children who would be the ones that would take that out the next day to clean it. So they get to get a real glimpse of what life was like during that time. From, I'll mention another one, doing laundry. We'll have a laundry station where they get to use the washboard and the lye soap, hang the clothes on the line. And it's so funny when I've heard a student say, I want my mom to do laundry like this, and I don't know if she would agree. So it's fun.
What a great educational opportunity here. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on In Focus with Alana Parker.
Yeah, just making a comment here. That Mansfield house, I knew the lady that lived there when I first moved here in 68. Her name was Virginia Mansfield. I think she might have been a granddaughter or great-granddaughter of the people that built that house, possibly.
Yes, and that may have been. It was Virginia Mansfield that then Mrs. Lucille Wolf purchased the home from her, and she sounds like she was an incredible lady. So you said you knew...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. You said you knew her?
Yeah, I did. We did some work for her.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she was... I'm not sure how old she was back then. I was like 27. I think she was maybe 45 or something. I can't be sure about that. But anyway, but another thing I was going to bring up here real quickly, okay? Dave mentioned that the Titanic went down in this particular day, is that correct?
Yes. April 15th, okay. 1912.
You realize that there's another ship that went down in the United States in 1865, the SS Sultana, which 1,547 people died in that particular, the worst ship disaster we ever had in the United States. And the I think the Titanic was 1,514, so it was actually more than what the Titanic had, but nobody ever hears about the Sultana. It was a steamship, the Mississippi steamship. The boiler blew up and set the whole place on fire, and they lost almost everybody on that ship.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, that's a bit of trivia there for you. So.
Well, thank you. I'm going to have to go look that up, too. I don't.
You see, when the historian learns about history.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a
great
day.
Always something new. Thank you for sharing. That's a tragedy.
Yeah, definitely a lot of important events happen on this date here, as we mentioned. But let's get back to the fourth grade tours here. You know, it's interesting, I always think, when kids kind of see what life was like when other people were children. Even as short as 10 years ago, things were different here. But to see how it was, you know, over 120 years ago, in some places. I mean, what is the response you generally see from these students?
Their eyes get really big when they come through that front door because there's so much visually to take in. And I think that comes from the Victorian decor. The Victorian era really emphasizes abundance. You have various designs and patterns that are mixed together. The colors, this was during that Victorian era, the 1880s. You start seeing houseplants coming inside. So I think that's the first thing. When they come through the door, they just... their eyes get really big, and it's kind of a wow moment for them because it's not like our homes today. Some people might have their homes that way. But just to get that experience, as I mentioned, to have music playing from that time. So we'll have, there was a comic opera that we'll have playing that was played at what would be the Moore's Opera House at that time that became the Wareham Opera House. So they just get what we hope is a really in-depth experience of how life was like then and how it is in some ways similar and in what ways it's different today. My favorite is when they go into the dining room, though, and as I mentioned, we have a full meal set out there as the Perrys would have had when they had boarders in the home. Mrs. Perry even had a little buzzer. So they would have help that would come in and help clear the tables. And it was a little dry cell battery that they found underneath the floor when they did restoration. So different things like that. But for them to get a sense of, as I mentioned, what's different today, what things are the same, is a lot of fun.
I imagine mealtime was always a big event back then, too. I mean, we didn't have McDonald's around the corner here and stuff like that.
Yes, and the types of meals too. I'm not sure that it would appeal to every palate today. As you mentioned, yes, we've had one that said, oh, well, we eat on paper plates every night. So it's for them to see that you don't have a dishwasher. You might have a five-course meal, which they had, a five-course meal where you have china dishes that all had to be hand-washed afterward. And as a boarding house and all the responsibilities that came along with that for Dr. and Mrs. Perry as they ran that. So, yes, I think it is fun for them to get a sense. And also the smells, as I mentioned, we'll have the different utensils. You had a different utensil for each food, whether it was we have a bone marrow scoop. I don't know if anybody really eats bone marrow today, the inside. Is that your favorite, Dave?
No, that doesn't qualify for the finger looking good category. I have had a lunch there at the Wolf House.
Yes.
Years ago when I was on the commission.
Yes.
The county commission had that was part of our tour, was it that you guys fixed lunch for us. And that was delightful, you know, and you know, learned a lot about, you know, meal preparation and what actually was, you know, commonplace servings.
Yes.
Back in those days.
So is that a place where you would like to live?
Does it have Wi-Fi?
I don't think so.
That may be tough.
Well,
that may be tough. But, you know, hey, there's all these Eat Street and all these other delivery Wildcat to go. You know, that's kind of... that might help.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I'm really glad that you were able to come for that tour then. And we just hosted the commissioners again a few weeks ago. So it's fun to be able to use that space to tell that story of how life has changed. And so a few other things. I did have some stories here that related, if you don't mind if I share, to the Wolf House Museum and then the Perry family that lived there. So this was a really fun one that we found. This was December 27th, 1889, and this was in the Manhattan Nationalist. And in the paper, it said, some careless boys were shooting out in Ward 3 Friday. So the Wolf House is in Ward 2. Ward 3 would be just north there, so north of Bluemont. One of their bullets went through a window of Dr. Perry's house, struck a Bible, and glanced to one side. Had it not been a spent ball, it would have struck Mrs. Perry near the heart, as she was sitting in range only 2 feet from the Bible. So those kinds of stories really help bring some of those individuals to life there to imagine what that would be like. Here you have a bullet going through the house and it almost strikes Mrs. Perry. So we find things like that. We have some wonderful photographs, but to give a visual representation, you can use some of these articles from the paper to get a sense of what it looked like back then. And one of my favorites, this was from the Manhattan Nationalist. This was September, again, in 1889. It said, the sample of lawn grass shown at our office gives rise to many questions. It is the native blue joint and not slough grass, but the common prairie grass of Kansas. This sample was cut from the roadside near Dr. Perry's house on Fremont Street and is but little short of 9 feet tall. So to imagine, every time I drive down Juliet now, I imagine this 9 foot tall grass on the corner there. And it talks about how people are apt to be a little skeptical about the stories of the early settlers about grass all over the prairies, so high as to be above the head of a man on horseback. But a glance at this bundle would convince the most skeptical. So I love that story about, because you imagine back in 1855, some of those pioneers coming out here and the grass being that tall, it doesn't look like what we see in the Kansas Prairie today. Oh. So to imagine that on the corner of the Wolf House Museum is a lot of fun.
That is crazy. I love how descriptive they are, those stories.
Yes, yes. And then just a few others here that are kind of fun. And I mentioned this to you. In talking about things that we know today that are not good to do. So this was one we found. Again, this is in the 1880s. This was in the Industrialist from 1880. And it talks about the drinking water. So there were several samples of well water that had been received by the chemical department at Kansas State Agricultural College. And the reason for these samples being sent up to the college was because there was a section in Manhattan where people were getting very sick. So they were trying to figure out why all these people are getting ill. So they decide, well, we'll take some of the well samples of the water, send it up to the college. Well, as they found out, let's see if I can find it here. So it talks about, on examination, it was found that most of the samples contained organic matter in more or less abundance, which I think we can all infer as to what that is, because they found that they were putting the outhouses next to the wells, and that was leaching into the well water. So thank goodness we've hopefully wisened up a little about that situation there. But I can't imagine having to contend with that. So little stories like that help you get a sense of the things that we appreciate today. Sometimes we take for granted, but thankful that we have good indoor plumbing for the most part today.
Boy, no doubt about that. Let's take a break. We'll have more in focus after this. News Radio KMAN.